You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers were presented by Progressive Insurance. Richard Jefferson, NBA, ESPN NBA analyst, 2016 champ, is going to be with us in 10 minutes. Why do you I hear a little grumbling over there.
That's like a big brother me who just, yeah. You know, has come back with the Nets. He's kind of like Keyshawn in a way.
You got a lot of big
what
brothers.
What do you mean, like Keyshawn in
a way? Well, you know, the whole basketball industry, man. Like yeah. Him and J. Kidd, like, hey, come on. We got you, but RJ play a lot of games, man. RJ very similar to Key.
Mm-hmm. I don't play. I'm nice.
Whenever
and easy.
I think of Keyshawn, I always think of RJ. Yeah. Might as well call him RJ Johnson.
RJ Johnson.
Man, you know what, Jay? I was watching SportsCenter and I didn't even know this, and I noticed somebody running around in Kansas City. They were showing Kansas City highlights or whatever and talking, and I noticed somebody running around in 10, and I was like, is that an old? I was like, nah.
Like Tyreek Hill 10?
Yeah. They done put the running back that they got from the from Rutgers in 10, Isaiah Pacheco.
They're low at the third string back or something?
Yeah, he's a running back that they got from Rutgers. They done put him in number 10. So I saw that. I'm like, that's hella disrespectful to Tyreek Hill. Now, I don't know if they put him in it as soon as they acquired him and drafted him, or they put it in him after Tyreek made his comments, whatever the case may be about Patrick Mahomes, you don't slide somebody in number 10 today. You let it breathe. You let it breathe.
How long you got to let it breathe?
Man, you got to let it breathe a couple years.
You're a Super Bowl champion, man.
Super Bowl champion, prolific playmaker for them.
Special player.
Special player. Could have potentially, if he'd have ended his career there, knocking on the door of the Hall of Fame, you let it breathe. You don't do it immediately, Jay.
It's how long after you left the Jets did someone else wear your number?
Man, it took a decade and some change before they slid somebody into 19. It took a decade and some change. For whatever reason, the equipment managers that were there at the time, they just didn't feel like somebody wanted that number.
And I wasn't even that good.
Tyreek Hill feels Tyreek Hill feels maybe a little bit different just because of how it's happened now.
It doesn't matter though.
I don't know.
Was it the same when Key left?
No, it wasn't because Keyshawn didn't have Patrick Mahomes to talk bad about. I mean, is it?
I talked bad about Al Groh. So
let me ask you another question about that.
Tyreek. Hold said on. Some stuff about Mahomes, and then all of a sudden, you know, his number's on.
Yeah, it could rookie. Be. Key started out by saying that. It could be that once he said about Mahomes, they gave away his number.
Look, check this out, though. We're not in Orlando. Let's use the Orlando Magic basketball, for instance.
Penny.
Right.
Penny and Shaq.
Penny and Shaq, yeah.
We not drafting somebody the next year when Penny goes to Phoenix and Shaq goes to L.A. We going to drop somebody. What was Shaq, 33?
32.
32. Was he 32? Yeah. 32. We're not dropping somebody in 32 in Orlando or one in Orlando.
Not for a hot minute.
Yeah. You just don't do
but
that.
Right. But here's my thing, though. You're talking about from the team side. As a player.
I don't even want
why the hell would you want that juju on you? Well, like, I'm not like, number one, Penny's prime example. You're telling me after Penny Hardaway leaves, where number one, you're going to be that dude that comes in? It's almost kind of like me. I was like, yeah, I'm going to come in and take Michael Jordan's locker. And I was like, wait, why? What am I doing? Why am I doing this?
Let me live up to the highest standard ever set as a rookie. Well, let me ask you this, though, Key and Jay. It's one thing to give it away right away. It's to a third string, fourth string running back. Does that make a difference?
I don't think it makes a difference at all.
What if it was? Is it okay?
There's a difference.
Is it extra disrespectful because it's not considered like this dude's a baller?
Yes. If he was a baller, okay,
I wouldn't.
Maybe
So if you told me that. For whatever reason, that the star quarterback is now coming to the team and he wore 10 on the previous team, that's different.
Right.
That part of it is because he's a known commodity amongst the league. Like, if I wore 19 and somebody had 19 with the Bucks, they got to get that up. They're going to have to get that to me regardless. I got that.
There's- Let's say it hadn't, it wasn't the 13 years or something before they gave away 19. Let's say it was a little too short a time, but this dude was a high first round pick.
He better do exactly what 19 was doing that's wearing it, because it's going to remind you as a fan.
No doubt, but that's what I'm saying for you. For Keyshawn Johnson, they give it away in 1 year, but it's the Calvin Johnson.
That's cool.
That makes it better, right?
It's cool because we assume Calvin Johnson is going to ball, but if he didn't ball,
then it'd be an issue.
It was like the fans are going to just try to just kill him off.
But Max, a third stringer? That's disrespectful.
That's what I'm saying.
That's disrespectful.
This ain't Calvin Johnson.
Come on, man.
They're not giving 19 to Calvin Johnson.
That's what I'm
saying,
man.
They're giving 10 to the third string running back.
That's a slap in the face now, man. That's a real – I would be angry about that.
Key, that's the perfect example. Like, Santana Moss was a first-round pick the year after you were traded.
Yes.
They didn't give him 19.
If they had given him 19, how are you feeling about it?
They weren't going to give him 19, and it wouldn't have been right because Tana wouldn't have been able to do the same things I was going to do.
I was thinking of a big receiver with a lot of hype, Calvin Johnson.
I'm thinking about – the opposite, the guy the Jets actually drafted. What would have happened?
Yeah, it just wouldn't have looked right.
But wait, Evan, if you could have just seen the look in Key's eyes, even trying to imagine that.
Because I'm thinking more from a fan's perspective on how you remember that.
Yeah,
you looking at that, and this dude is small like Tyreek Hill. He got a little jitterbug to him. And they looking at that, they're like, that ain't the joystick I thought. That ain't the cheetah.
That would affect me personally, because now you messing up my rep, man. Like, you messing up my number.
You get Madden 2022 and then 2023, and you're like, hold on, I'm working it with number 10, but it's not happening.
You know, over a long period of time, kids be like, well, who was that? Who wore that number? No, this guy would be like, nah.
Yeah, see, it doesn't happen. Obviously, it doesn't happen to guys' numbers that are going to be retired. Like, we know nobody's ever wearing 80 when Jerry walks away from the 49ers. Like, we know nobody's ever wearing 15 when Patrick Mahomes leaves the Kansas City Chiefs. Or two with Jeter and the Yankees. It's just not going to happen. We already know that. But when a guy has a career as long and productive like Tyreek Hill and he slides somebody else in that number, it's like, no, man, you can't do that. The kid is going to have people looking at him a certain way. When he doesn't do things right, they're going to be like, this dude's a bum. And he's wearing the dude number.
It's like someone like, I think it's also the way the fan base embraces someone. So I'm a Yankees fan. Bernie Williams was I love Bernie Williams. He wore 51. Now, he's not like Babe Ruth or Joe DiMaggio or Derek Jeter,
but
I got the same love for him. I don't want to see anyone ever wearing 51 again, let alone 10 minutes after he leaves.
Yeah, but the problem with sports sometimes is what people do that work in the equipment office and front office and stuff like that, is they, even though you're not there anymore, they still want you to be there.
Yeah.
So they put that person that looks like that in that uniform. It's like, no, you can't do that.
I do want to say this.
And I was going to go
casting director.
Yeah,
okay. I'll say this real quick before you go ahead. I'm trying to tell people out there who don't know. Yo, the equipment director, one of the most powerful dudes in the whole organization.
Say, yeah.
Because Cass be asking me like, no, you get two pairs of this. You get three. Like, he be everything, it's man. Like he control everything.
It's like the guy, Max at Jay, I love this. It's almost like Kanye West. Kanye West is divorced. He's no longer with his one-time wife and Kim Kardashian. Oh, what does he do? Yeah. He goes and he starts dating a girl who looks
like her, wears
the same clothes as her, the same sunglasses. Why didn't you just stay with her then?
He's dressing her up to look exactly like
her. He's dressing her up to look like her.
Let me buy you Balenciaga so you can look like the girl. That's crazy.
That's the same way that some organizations do with players. They get rid of the player, and then they go put a dude in 56.
It's
not the same guy.
There was an HBO show called Flight of the Conchords that did an episode about this with Garfunkel from Simon and Garfunkel. Lady broke up with Garfunkel and had one of the characters dress up as Garfunkel because she was still in love with him. You don't know who Simon Garfunkel is? Or the Flight of the Conchords.
No, I do. I don't think the way you told the story really resonated with me the same way that Key just told the Kanye West.
Yeah,
it felt a little bit different.
Think about it this way, Max. Somebody breaks up with their girlfriend, they go buy the same perfume to put the new girlfriend in.
No, the Kanye thing is on the money. The Kanye thing is on the money because
I
know.
The next one shows up a clone. Kim Kardashian clone, right?
I'm not you, Jay. But they do that.
Some
hey,
people
should,
do that.
You should smell. Well, why didn't you just stay with her here,
I'm
man?
I'm finding a lot of common purchases over the span. You weren't with me. The same perfume for other people. It's just like the way it smells. What?
Yeah, I've never been at this restaurant with her before.
No, it's the same thing. Height, everything, eye color, the same clothes.
That, you didn't know it. The maitre d' was like, hey, get
nice to see you.
Hey, John.
Hey, nice to see you again, Jay.
When did you come here?
When I was in town playing for the Bulls, I guess we came here to eat.
Oh, I can't. Y'all make me sweat.
It's too much to all keep track of, man. It's too the athletes lead stressful life. Even when you're getting away with something, still, it's a stressful life.
I've been here, Max, many times over, but this is more about the jersey.
But I've been here. My man called into the show was like, Key, yeah, I saw you waiting with the green. I'm like, damn.
That dude knew too much.
I have no idea who that was. But
shut that call down.
I've been there, though, before, you know, single life, whatever, and you know, doing the whole deal. Go somewhere that I've been before, but I hadn't been in a long time. Hey, man, nice to see you back again. How's everything going? Nice to see you guys, but that she wasn't with me. What do you mean, you guys?
But the best is like, I
blow your spot.
We're going on a tangent, though, because the best is like, my wife is like, oh, I haven't seen you for a long time. What's been going on? I'm like, who's that? Who's he in your life? I'm like, I just met him one time 6 years ago.
Now I know how to set Jay up.
One time. What do you mean?
That's the one, though, Max.
It happens, though.
The Max. Nice to see you guys again. What? I was not here with her. What are you talking about?
Who are you here with, Keith? Where did you come? You're like, oh.
It's 10 years ago. Get out of here.
Spot blown.
Can't do it.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We should probably talk basketball at some point. Yes. We have the finals.
Game 6 tonight.
We do have Game 6 coming up tonight.
Jay, Game 6, Clay?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Everybody set it up for a dud.
He doesn't have to drop 40 or 30. To me, it's 12 quick points in the third quarter.
I don't think it's a dud because he's building off of last game, and he knows now what he needs to do to continue to have the success that he had last game. I don't think it's a dud.
All I'm saying, though, is when there's a narrative, Key, and people start talking about it like, oh, here it comes. I mean, the probability
never works
of it
out quite like
not,
you think. Yeah, like even like this is going to now prove something about Steph, but Steph somehow he'll have 23, he'll miss a bunch of shots, someone else, and they'll win, and it'll be like great, and he won Finals MVP, but it won't be satisfying or something like that.
Satisfying to who though?
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, Key. I want to see what Stoudemire said. He wants Steph. He thinks Steph's going to drop 50 and they win. Oh, my God. Think of what that would feel like.
Well, he dropped 50 and they win. That's taking it to another level.
Yeah, well, Giannis did it last year, right? Closeout game. Yeah. Look, Klay Thompson talked about the difficulty of closing out a series.
It is very hard to close out a series, and this is a very good team. And we know they're going to play with a sense of desperation. So for us to match that or exceed that, it's going to take the most effort we've had to give all year.
What is it about Klay that, like, look, whatever you want to say, oh, I'm hating on Steph, da-da-da-da.
Yo, when he be wearing the headbands during the interviews, though, I'm like,
playing the ABA? Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on? What's that movie with Will Ferrell where he plays like the basketball?
Tropic Thunder. No, that was the Ben Stiller movie.
That was the Ben Stiller. There was the basketball one. I'm drawing a blank.
The basketball one. It wasn't Tropic Thunder.
But he looks like a player that comes from that generation.
Yeah, well, listen, his dad was the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. It was in the, what year was that?
70.
Late 70s.
Seven?
Something like that. Late 70s. And he was a 20. Michael Thompson was a 20-12 guy when he got, he was. Then he winds up, but this is Klay's mentality. This is a winning, like, Thompson family is very impressive. Michael Thompson, 20-12, first player selected in the draft, winds up backing up Kareem, and he thinks it's the best thing that ever happened to him, playing for a champion.
Because you settle in and you understand. It's almost like Klay. Klay didn't settle in, but he also understands that this is about, not this is about, but this is a Steph Curry team. I'm not trying to
be
something
trying to
I'm
win.
Not. I just want
just
to win.
Just trying to win.
I'm happy. I got my $207 million. I got my shoe deal. I'm living the best life ever.
Key, if
I'm
you were
champion,
winning Super Bowls,
I'm a future Hall of Famer.
If you were winning Super Bowls, but you were only getting thrown to half or two thirds as much, and you have to block
man,
in this,
I'm
but every year you're winning the Super Bowl,
man,
you're good.
I'm good, yeah. Man. I ain't got no problem. None at all. I don't give a damn what the book says.
So let me ask you guys a question.
I care less.
Right.
See, you guys.
Winning mentality.
Betting men. Yeah. So Golden State didn't close it out against Dallas mm-hmm. on the road. Golden State didn't close it out against the Nuggets on the road. Mm-hmm. So going through those, they didn't close it out against the Grizz on the road. That's where they lost that game by 50.
It's so big because imagine they don't, Celtics could easily win. No, right? That happens. Yeah. They're at home. Warriors having a problem. Now they go back to Golden State. Think of the pressure at home in game seven.
You're talking about Denver without Jamal Murray, without Michael Porter Jr. They couldn't close it on the road. You talk about Memphis without Ja Morant, couldn't close it on the road. You talk about Dallas, Luka and Jalen Brunson and Cunson couldn't close it on the road. Are we going to just start betting that they're going to close this one out on the road against a team that's better than the three teams we just mentioned?
Richard Jefferson, to me, I think they – I'm just thinking about the pressure in a Game 7 at home for a Warriors team that doesn't close it out. To me, this is as big as it gets.
Hello, RJ.
What up, what up, what up?
What up, baby?
I can't call it. Just listening to y'all, loving what y'all doing, man. Let's go.
So what do you – you won chips, man. What do you – when you see Golden State – not winning and closing out games against lesser competition on the road. Granted, we're in the finals. It's different. Who do you have more trust in tonight?
I have more trust in probably I have more trust in Boston. And it's not necessarily because of talent or close out less about Golden State. I just think when you get into an environment like the Garden, if you're Boston and you can't win this game six at home, to me, that tells me you're a little bit further away because you're not going against a dominant force. You're going against a great team, but you're not going against the 15 or the 16 or the 17 or the 18 Warriors. This is probably if you're ranking the Warrior teams that have been in the finals, this is probably the least talented team that they've had. So for me, if you can't beat them in a game six, then, you don't deserve to win a championship. You got to protect home court. For us, when we were fortunate enough to win it in 16, it was like, hey, if we win game five, we're not going to lose game six. We're not going to go home on our last game on our own floor and lose there, and then anything can happen in game seven. So for me, if Boston can force a game seven, then anything can go, and I think then that somewhat is a successful finals, even if they win or lose, because it just comes down to one game.
Even though you say, Richard, that they're less talented than the other championship teams that they had, they're more experienced than the Boston Celtics, whether it's on the road or at home. So does that not play into this at all, that they could use that experience to get them to where they need to be?
Yes, they can. They can use that experience. But this is one thing that we got to talk about, experience. They only have two games experience playing against the Celtics in the Garden. So I love the Cleveland crowd. One of the best crowds. We had Mad Dog on Get Up talking about the Cleveland sports fans are the best. He's not far off. And then they played against Toronto. Now, those two environments are not like, and you know this, Key, from playing in New York, playing in Philly. You know what I'm saying? Those are different environments than playing any place else. And so, they don't have experience in that situation. They have experience in this space. But for me, I think that Garden will be rocking. The environment around there will be ballistic, far greater than anything that they've seen in Cleveland, in Golden State, or in Toronto. So that, even though they have experience in this in this situation, they don't have experience in this environment. And so Boston, being a great team that hasn't lost three games in a row since January, this is the time. And these wins that Golden State have had haven't been dominant wins. They've been very good, some close wins, some battling. So hopefully your home team can give you the home court can give you the edge.
My brother Richard Jefferson, ESPN NBA analyst, NBA champion, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Mike. RJ, Mike Greenberg said this would be bigger than Steph's three other titles.
Yes, it is
combined.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Mike. If you want to give Greenberg credit for that point, I've been saying that for years.
Did I say Max? Did I say Mike?
I said Mike?
I was saying I've seen
him.
No,
you did not.
I did not. Wait, James, Greeny, did I say Mike or did I say Matt?
You said Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Mike.
He said Mike.
Yeah. Greeny put it well because he's called KD the cheat code on that team. That's exactly right. And in 15, come on, man. The Cavs got hurt. They were lucky.
So, I mean. Yeah,
and they lost in 16.
I did say Mike. My fault, Max. So do you think. Damn it. You guys caught it on tape, too.
So Greeny and I look like.
You guys are children.
Same birthday.
We're surrounded
he's
by children.
Older, but same birthday.
So, damn it, stop. He's RJ, what do you think? Would this one be bigger than the three combined?
Combined?
That's what Greenberg said.
Combined. But the individual, to me, the 15-1 is great, understanding that they were still going against LeBron James and they had zero experience. No shooting team had ever won a championship, predominantly being a three-point shooter.
Thank you.
Team. So that's something to me was very unique. This might be the most important one because they had 2 years off where they didn't play well. Klay is not 100%. They don't have Kevin Durant. They don't have Kevin Durant as that ultimate cheat code. And trust me, we gloss over the fact that, like, there's extra incentive for the Golden State Warriors to win this because it shuts up so many naysayers about the Kevin Durant and, oh, you know, could they win without him and blah, blah, blah. This will quiet so much of that conversation. And also, it'll most likely put Steph in a position to win his first finals MVP. So when you start looking back at the history of his career and of all of his accomplishments and all of his championships, this will be the one that you will point to. Not because of the opponents that they went through, because I don't think that the opponents that they went through were overly impressive. It's because of what they've been through and how they got back to the mountaintop at the age in which they did.
Richard Jefferson, this is the point that I've been making for wait a minute. In 2015, yes, they reinvent the wheel and it's amazing and all that. And yet, at the end of the season, they were clearly second best to the Cavs. The Cavs would have destroyed, the Cavs went to this game six without Kyrie or Kevin Love. 16, they lose. 17 and 18, they have the cheat code, as Mike Greenberg put it. I thought that's apt, right? And so, if Steph, forget about creating culture, revolutionizing the game, that's amazing that he could do all that. There's a reason he doesn't have his finals MVP. If in a 50-50 type series.
Don't fall for that.
If in a 50-50 type series, RJ, he comes through with a finals MVP and they win, no excuses, that's the thing, right?
You always point to one. Like a lot of different players and when Magic wins his championship, a lot of times they will point to when he goes for 42 as a rookie in game six of the finals. There's that finals moment that we're like, this is greatness encapsulated into one individual.
Yes.
LeBron James, what he was able to do in Cleveland, that championship you specifically point to as in that's different for his career arc. We know about the LAs. We know about the two Miamis. That Cleveland one is different. Part of the reason why I think Kevin Durant and Kyrie went to Brooklyn is because they felt like they needed to go win a championship separate from the areas in which they had won before. You will point to this championship in Steph Curry's career if they win as the most important championship of his career, and it is not even close.
Yes.
It is not even close.
What
it's
RJ
the first
saying?
One, yes, but this one, because again, you can check the boxes. You lose in 16 after going 3-1. That's kind of a knock on your thing. You win in 15, but LeBron James should have won the finals MVP and you know, for the losing team and all the things that he did. 17 and 18, there wasn't a team on the planet in the history of the game that was going to be able to beat you. You obviously get hurt in 18. And then here, you got 2 years off where people think you're done. They don't know what's going to happen with Klay. The day that Klay shows up, Steph's like, that's all the help I need. And obviously the development of Poole and everything else. But you will point to this championship for Steph more than you will point to any other moment in his career if he's able to get it done. And not because he won the finals MVP. That'll be the icing on the cake. It's because they won a championship. That is why you will point to this one in the way they did it.
Richard Jefferson, educating young Jason Williams.
Shut up, Max.
Thank you, RJ.
I appreciate you guys, man. Y'all keep giving Jay Will some mess.
All right, RJ. Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Mike.
Oh.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Yeah!
Jay, why'd you put your mic stand all the way up?
Yeah, because I wanted to stand up. It's like a working desk. I'm tired of sitting down all the time.
By the way, I want to join you up
there. Yeah, get up here. Let's do it.
All curled up for 4 hours. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Key, I'm afraid if I touch this mic, it'll never be right again.
You've been touching it for 4 hours.
No, I mean like pulling it up. I hold the mic. That's right. It's my MC days.
Why do you always hold the
mic?
My
MC days. Y'all ever been in a studio? All right. Rich Cimini, ESPN Jets reporter, with us now. Rich, let's listen to Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach, the press conference on Zach Wilson's progress.
Obviously, it's well documented. He had a rough rookie year. I mean, we all did. I did, including myself. So, you know, just in terms of growing this, people are forgetting that he's got a young offensive supporting cast. His receivers are young. His backs are young. The O-line is just gelling together. He's young. So for Zach, really, it's just to continue to progress. He doesn't need to be Tom Brady this year. He doesn't need to be. Now, if he ends up being that, that's awesome. But that's not the expectation for him. The expectation is for him to continue to climb that mountain.
Rich, good morning. Thanks for joining us. What'd you make of what Saleh said?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good to talk to you guys. Yeah, I mean, it was the first time he actually came out and said that Zach had a rough year, even though it was obvious to everyone who watched him that it was a rough year. So I thought that was interesting, and I thought this was Robert Saleh trying to manage expectations and maybe sending a message to Zach that you don't have to try to play hero ball, which he did at times last year, and just be part of the offense, almost like saying just be a game manager. And if you can do that and just be average and function in your position, we'll be okay. That was the message I took away from that.
When you look at it, though, how impressed has Zach Wilson been so far? Because I heard some, you know, some reports about what he was doing that didn't make me smile much, Rich.
Well, it depends what week you were watching. The last 2 days, I thought he was good to very good. He looked pretty sharp the last couple of days in minicamp. Now, if you look back to last week in OTA practices, not sharp at all. You know, had a couple of rough days during the open practices to the media. And even the Jet coaching staff, Robert Saleh, admitted publicly that Zach didn't have some of his better days when the media were there. So it I would say, in summary, it was kind of a choppy offseason for him. Some good, some bad. But, you know, Keyshawn, it reminds me of like many years ago with these offseason practices. The Jets had a very, very, very highly drafted wide receiver who showed up for his first minicamp and was actually outperformed by the wide receiver who was drafted in the second round. But we never heard from that second rounder again. And the guy who was drafted very highly went on to be a very, very good player in the league, if you catch my drift.
No, so I'm
that's
trying
why
to remember
you have
who that
to was. Take... I have no idea who that was. But anyway, I think the point of it is you take these with a grain of salt. You know, these aren't too meaningful in terms of offseason stuff.
Well, when you look at where they're at now from an offensive play calling standpoint in Mike LaFleur, is he more comfortable now calling plays this season, you think, opposed to last season where he went from the sidelines to up in the box to back to the sideline?
Absolutely. I thought that transformation actually occurred last year when Wilson, ironically, got injured and they started Mike White, because that was the game where Mike LaFleur went from the field to upstairs. And that was the game where Mike White became like a folk hero. He had that 400-yard passing game against Cincinnati. And I think it really loosened up Mike LaFleur. He was able to let his hair down a little bit. You saw more creative play calling toward the end of the year, even when Wilson got back in the lineup. Some gadget plays, a little more aggressiveness. And I think that will carry over into the second year, especially now that Wilson has a better command of the offense.
Rich Cimini, ESPN Jets reporter. Appreciate it, Rich.
All right, Rich.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Guys, if I'm Evan Wilner right now, and I'm a big Jets fan, I'm nervous. I am nervous. I spent the second overall pick on that guy, and he's not looking good in OTAs.
Well, you know what, Jay and Max? Rich Cimini is right, though. It's mini camp, it's OTAs, it's a little bit different, it's T-shirt All-America, it's those sort of things that go on. It's like pick-up basketball. Well, you know, I go 5-on-5, and then all of a sudden, guys are missing shots, but then when they get into the regular season, they look totally different. But the alarming thing for me in this situation is why I brought it up to Rich Cimini is I had a little birdie that told me that Mike White was doing better at the quarterback spot than Zach Wilson. So I wanted to get
second year in a row.
I wanted to get a little more clarification from Rich Cimini, and he said he did well this week, but then the previous week when I got that information, it didn't look so good. It was kind of like, he's not throwing the ball well. Is the other guy's actually better? So I wanted to know.
I mean, Daniel Jones for the ups and downs, whatever, but you would always hear people, no, he can do this, he can do that. Ooh, this is... I'd be, Evan, if I were you, I'd be a little bit nervous right now.
Nah, no nerves.
No nerves?
Nah.
The Jets' track record says they always get it right.
And so it happens, man.
Oh, maybe it doesn't?
I remember that mini camp so like it was yesterday.
Who needs to step up for each team in the finals?
Yeah, Max, hang on. We're okay.
What's going on here?
We got to get a golf update.
U.S. Open update.
The defending champion, John Rahm, to the lead, 2 under par. He is tied with Matthew Nussmith. Never heard of him. Colin Morikawa, 2-time major champion, also tied for the lead. God, Morikawa is going to be like one away from the Grand Slam if he wins this. Sebastian Munoz also. So we got 4 guys at 2 under. Travis Vick, the amateur, still there. He's 1 back. And so is Rory McIlroy. Made some comments, showed up. He's 1 under par. So... that's where we're at. We're not really going to talk about Fran Quinn much anymore. He is now tied for 70.
Oh, man.
That escalated quickly.
+4.
Is Jay Haas in there anywhere?
I don't think Jay Haas is in here, no.
Right. Where's Adam Scott at right now?
It's a great question.
He's probably doing a movie or
even
something, right?
Par. He's even par.
Oh, okay. All
right. Any other names?
Even par under 10?
Key, anybody you'd like to know?
No, I'm fine. You just told me Adam Scott's even par under 10, right?
I didn't say under 10.
Under 10.
I said he's through 7.
Oh, through 7. Under 7. Okay.
Under
through
7.
Well, I could use the under or through.
No, under would be confusing because then you'd be 10 under par. Just like, you know, through Stanley 7. Cup final, NBA finals.
Yeah, I tell Max this all the time.
Yeah, no, Jay is putting me up on this the way I put him up on hockey. Thank you for that,
World
Jay.
Championship. Yeah, I get it. National champion. I get it. Super Bowl champion.
So who has to step up for each team in Game 6? That is coming up in moments.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, Their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Headsets on from a radio station.
So what? You put everyone up on what's going on, Key.
Well, no, my son. So we had this conversation a couple days ago about
AirPods.
Like Monday. AirPods.
Who was losing
or
a lot
earbuds?
Of earbuds.
Josh Hart.
Yeah, Josh Hart had
lost like 70 pairs of
AirPods. Yeah, like a
AirPods.
Whole bunch of them. And I lose them too.
Yeah.
So I lost some a week ago. And so I hadn't had a chance to go buy any. Yeah. So I just basically took my son's and I had my son's. So yesterday when I came to do NFL Live, I had one in my ear and I thought I had a little thing in my pocket.
Why are you doing one in the ear?
That's because I need to hear what's going on around me, Jay. I can't do two.
You can't walk down the street oblivious, Jay. It's not New Jersey.
No, exactly. And so I wind up losing his and leaving him in the Uber and had one in my ear and the other one in the Uber. So I said, I'm not about to chase this dude down and try to find it. So he asked me this morning, hey, Dad, where's my AirPods or whatever? And I'm like, I lost them. And he goes, oh, you lost them? I'm like, yeah. So he says, can you buy me the new ones? The Maxes is what they're called.
Yeah, so the new ones aren't the AirPods. It's like a headset. Like essentially, like it's like the old school headphones that you put over, but you're not going to lose those because they're connected. They're bigger.
I'm not going to buy those. They're $450.
But if it's a headset, you won't lose it. But the whole thing about AirPods is they're easy breezy.
They're small.
Yeah, it's good. You know what they need to fix with AirPods, by the way? How do those cases get so dirty so fast? And you can't clean them. You try to keep them clean, you can't clean them.
So I don't even know what to do, man.
You gotta clean out your ears, man. You got
no,
too much
I don't
earwax.
Mean earwax, Jay.
Dust
I mean, yeah, they're dust magnets.
You know, you get that stuff on Amazon, man. You just dig in, get all the.
I can't believe I keep losing.
Get all the earwax out, Max, for you, because
I have to be a little waxy. I come from a waxy people, Jay.
I worry about you sometimes.
What it is?
Yeah,
and I don't want to walk around with big things on my ears.
This is a true story. You're gonna lose your lunch, but so like you know, I go to the ENT because I had an infection. Whatever, they clean it out. I'm like, you know, give me some medicine, whatever, a couple years ago. And they're like, hey, how's your hearing? How's your hearing? And I'm like, not great. And they're like, because one of the prescriptions they gave me, apparently inside my ear is very hairy. They said I should get in there with like a clippers thing, like an ear trimmer. An ear trimmer. That's a medical prescription. I got to take hair out of my – who asked for this?
That's why you can't hear.
When I was a little kid, I used to look at my grandfather. Evan. I said, he had bushels of hair coming out of his ears. How does that happen
Evan,
to a person?
Evan, it's all coming together. No wonder Max can't hear you when you try to communicate to him about
I got
no
hair
production.
Growing out of my ears?
Evan,
what
no
is
said
this?
No production five times. You kept throwing it to the production.
Huh?
Andy Reid.
The old man.
Why does Andy Reid look like Santa Claus?
Leave Andy Reid alone. You're watching so random.
We're back in 10 seconds.
Watching SportsCenter. Jeez.
I can barely hear what Evan's telling me. What was Evan? Tell me again in my ear.
Yeah,
just so
no,
I can
perfect.
Hear.
This is great. We got a surprise for you guys. Let's take a listen to what the surprise is.
All right. Steph Curry, 30 for 30. Max Kellerman.
What if I told you that you can teach a chef by roasting him?
Of course Steph can ball out. I'm not saying he was incapable of doing this. My point was he hadn't done this yet.
That when LeBron and D-Wade praise you on Twitter, it literally doesn't matter. Like, at all.
2015, you can't send these tweets. 2016, you can't send these tweets. Nope. 17 and 18 was the KD show.
That people forgive, but don't forget.
I'm the petty king, so I know all about everything. And I use it as entertainment and just have fun with it.
So essentially what he's waiting on is to close the thing out so he can fire at Max.
Ooh.
100%.
ESPN Radio and KJM present a fake 30 for 30 event.
Steph's got to win this game, and he's got to be the best player on the floor at some point.
The Cliff Part 2, pushing Curry to the max.
So I have it That's all right. set up. We're going to do it here at the ESPN South Street Seaport.
Yes.
I'm going to moderate you, Tom Brady, and Steph Curry. And we're going to talk about the impact that Max Kellerman has had.
You ever see the Sesame Street? It's like, which one of us isn't the same? Which one of us doesn't belong? Me, Tom Brady, and Steph Curry. Yeah. Somehow the thing that links Tom Brady and Steph Curry is some dude sitting behind a microphone yelling at something, angry about something. He doesn't know what, but somehow someone has something to prove.
Jeez.
I can't help it. I believe it. And by the way, Key, you know how like you guys are athletes, like you guys are trying to set. I'm not trying to write any narrative. I'm trying to read it. I think the athletes write the scripts, and we just read it.
Yeah, but you drive it home, though. You're on it 24/7, 7 days a week.
They pay me. What am I going to do?
And the guy actually is playing lights out, and he played lights out in the other series, too. And no, he was
averaging 30 in the NBA finals.
How could you say well?
In this series, yeah, lights out. But
prior to this, he was averaging 30.
It just looked different because it didn't have the same impact to you because KD was prolific as well.
Yes.
It's because when you had KD on
KD's
the team,
KD's a unicorn, man. KD's
everyone,
a unicorn. Yeah. You see KD, you're like, oh, that's it.
I mean, Steph was a unicorn. Like, even he...
Yeah, got, he's a baby unicorn.
Yeah, but I mean, like Damian Lillard, a lot of players started to emulate his game because it was, it changed the way they played basketball.
Even Dame would be... looked at a tad bit less if you were on a team with Kevin Durant, right? If those two were together, you would say, at the end, but because one dude is 7 feet tall, and he's a matchup nightmare.
Here's the thing, though. Dame's never...
Dame ain't going to get the same recognition as Kevin Durant.
No.
No.
But if Dame had been on a team at any point, as talented as any of the Warriors teams that won championships without KD or were in the finals without KD that Steph was on... we'd be talking about him differently. We'd be measuring him different. We don't hold Dame to the Steph standard because we can see he's never been on a team like Steph's been on.
Yeah,
he doesn't have those kind of teammates.
Having potentially the second greatest shooter of all time helps you.
Right.
I
like CJ McCollum a whole lot. He got Clay.
That's not Clay.
Yeah. On teams, though, somebody's got to be the guy who sticks out, period. It's just the way it is. You can pick any team you want. It's going to always be one guy that sticks out that is the guy, the alpha dog, his locker room, his this, his that. That's just what it is. Even though Michael Jordan's Michael Jordan, but in all honesty, Scottie Pippen is Scottie Pippen, and he helped Jordan win them six.
Mm-hmm.
But Jordan is so far out there, Scottie ain't going to get the same type of recognition. It's just not going to happen.
Well, I mean, listen.
And Scottie tried to do it by himself, just like Michael tried to do it by himself, and neither one could do it.
Yep.
But Scottie was on team. Scottie was a great player. Great player. When Jordan retired those couple of years.
A Jordan guy.
When Jordan retired those couple of years, Olajuwon was the best player in basketball. I thought Scottie Pippen was right behind him, second best player. Like, Scottie was great. And the Bulls were a whole lot of. They didn't get back to a finals without MJ, and they did have Kukoc, and they did have Rodman. They had a lot. They didn't get back to a finals.
But they didn't get to a finals without Pip either.
No one. Win their titles by themselves.
Unless you're LeBron James.
No, LeBron never won a title by himself.
But it still feels like you get close.
Yes, you get closest with LeBron. Yeah.
And MJ never got there without Scottie.
Right, but MJ never missed. Like, once MJ, if you gave MJ a crew, it was over.
I'm an MJ guy, but I'm also a facts guy, too, when it comes to stuff like that.
There's no such thing as someone who doesn't have a second banana and wins a finals. Not going to win. LeBron will get you there. You're going to win.
But I do feel like sometimes a little bit for, like, diehard Jordan fans, it's like Jordan never had any of those years of struggle before they started to get there. Like, people like just gloss over all the difficulties he had with Doug Collins and how his teams couldn't get over the hump. And
that's because there was no one on the team, Jay. They didn't
have
a single other all-star ever. Not one.
It's just like when you start to have the Kobe Bryant conversation. Kobe got there without Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
With a less Shaq and Powell, which was Powell was still
Powell was all world.
Yeah, but he wasn't Shaq.
No, he wasn't Shaq. Of course not.
But Kobe was still able to get there and win chips with a lesser than Shaq.
You know what? Kobe's a great example. Kobe, and I forgot who brought this up the other day. Maybe it was one of you guys. I forgot who brought this up. But Kobe, when he was with Shaq, right? You might have said, well, he proved he won championships, this and that. And even though Shaq and him were real close, it's like 1A, 1B.
No, Shaq was the guy.
But it, right.
Yeah.
When he, with
don't get it twisted.
Kobe proved something
can
extra
you dig
when
it?
He won with Powell that he hadn't yet proved when he won with Shaq.
See, but again,
that's what I'm saying about Steph
point.
In these finals
that
without
goes,
KD.
That goes back to my point. Somebody's got to be in front.
Yeah.
And Shaq was going to be in front.
Yeah.
Not Kobe. Even if Kobe was going for 50, the Diesel was going to be in front.
But by the way, Key, Steph was in front in 2015.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So, 15.
But the only thing is, he just wasn't in front of LeBron James, who was in front of everybody, with maybe the exception of Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So, like that, it's even though we see it through that prism, just recognize the greatness of LeBron James, though.
There's always some dude where it's like he had to get by him.
Him,
you know. And by the way, these Celtics, Steph, he's going to have to get by that defense on the road in Boston.
Do they do it tonight?
I'm going to say game 7. I think it's going back to Golden
State. I'm
going to
say game 9.
You've been on game 6 for a minute, though, kid.
I'm staying at 6. It's over.
Yeah, come me on, too. If it's six, then I stayed on six with Key. If it goes seven, then I change my mind. Back tomorrow morning.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.